Good news of great joy. That's what we're thinking about on this third Sunday in Advent. A joy that in many ways cannot be silenced. Every December, I think the world chases happiness. There's lights, there's tinsel, there's songs. Though some of the songs really don't make a lot of sense to me. You hear some of the Christmas songs that the world has invented and you wonder why they're such popular hits. Then there's also the food. I've been getting emails from various supermarkets since the end of October encouraging me to book my delivery slot. And of course, there are those that even when they book a delivery slot, there'll still be those last minute emergency rushes to the local supermarket, butchers, greengrocer, because it seems that no matter how much we prepare, there's still more that we need to do. And of course, the presents. I mean, maybe presents are a bit easier now. There's online shopping. You don't actually have to trudge up and down the high street anymore. You don't have to fight your way through crowds for those so-called bargains that will be so much cheaper in the Boxing Day sales. The world loves Christmas. And of course, if you're like me, you'll look forward to Boxing Day when you know if you go into Tesco's, you'll be able to purchase your Easter eggs. We rush from one thing to another, don't we? The next fad, the next phase. Black Friday used to just be one day. Then they introduced Cyber Monday. Now you have Black Friday week or fortnight or month. The world wants us to part with our cash. The world tries to convince us what we really, really need. But the truth is, what we need is Jesus. He is the reason for the season. He is why, on this Sunday morning in December, we are in church. Because we're here to praise him, to worship him, to thank him for who he is and not what the world says. You'd think the world worships Santa, but can I remind you that Santa is an anagram of Satan? Anything that detracts from the truth of who Jesus is evil, however we dress it up. And happiness, well, happiness is something that just seems far too fragile in the world that we live in. When the decorations come down, when reality returns, happiness seems to slip away. When the lights go out, the holiday has ended, and January, when the credit card bill arrives and reality hits, it's not quite so happy anymore, is it? But for us as believers, we have something far better than happiness. We can know joy, real joy. Eternal joy, unshakable joy, joy that remains long after happiness has dried up or been packed away in a cupboard for another year. Joy, my friends, it's not a mood swing. It's not a personality type. Joy is not walking around with a smile on your face, pretending everything is fine when you're screaming on the inside. For us, joy is the unshakable reality that God is with us, that God is for us, that God is not distant, but he is near us. He is with us. Jesus, born in Bethlehem, crucified at Calvary, risen in glory and reigning forever. He's our joy, isn't he? When the angel appeared that first Christmas time, heaven did not declare, "I bring good news for those who have earned it." He declared, "I bring good news for all the people." The angel didn't come to announce a reward for those that were good, for those who behaved. The declared good news of great joy for people who were drowning in sin, for people who lived in darkness, for people who lived in fear, for people who were confused. That's who the good news was for. For those that struggle, for those who feel broken, for people like you and me. That's who the good news was for. Today from the Word of God, we're going to discover four things. We're going to look at joy for the broken. We're going to consider joy that comes from abiding in Christ. I want us to think briefly about joy in the storm. Because we all face storms in our lives, don't we? And also joy in Christ's salvation. We can rejoice because we have been saved because of what he has done. Not because of who we are, not because we're nice people, not because we smile at each other occasionally, but because of the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. This morning, my prayer is that we will go and rejoice in the joy of Jesus, that we will focus on him, that our lives will continue to be transformed and changed as we take joy from him and not from our circumstance. First point, joy has come to the broken. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." What we need to understand here is that shepherds in the first century were social outcasts. They were considered unclean. They were not welcome in the temple. Humble shepherds, dirty, unclean, despised, ignored. Yet they were the ones who received the good news first. I was trying to work out what would the equivalent be in the 21st century. Maybe someone who's a scam caller who works in one of these call centres trying to encourage you to give out your bank details. Or maybe, if we go back a few years, a double glazing salesman or an insurance salesman or maybe a tax man. Whatever you think is an occupation that you would never consider doing. The shepherds were treated badly because of who they were and because of what they did. Yet they were the first to receive the invitation from heaven to hear the good news, to rejoice, to be full of joy. Why? I think it's because God's joy is for the unlikely. God's joy is for those who the world would consider unworthy, for those that the world forgets about, the lonely person at home somewhere, the person without a roof over their head who will spend Christmas on the streets, the broken, the damaged, the lonely. That's who God has come for. And all of us, in some way, can be lonely, can feel damaged. We can feel broken. The pressures of the world push in and push down. And the world tries to convince us that the latest fad, the latest phase will make us happy, will give us that joy that we desperately seek. But that joy is only in Jesus. That's the only place that we can find joy. And the shepherds there that night in the fields. Now, realistically, it wasn't the middle of bleak midwinter when frosty wind made moan. It was probably sometime earlier in the year, maybe March or April. They wouldn't have been out in the fields in the cold. The sheep would have been brought in to barns if it was in winter time. And often, I think we get distracted by the picture that's been painted of Christmas, the angels playing in the snow. Jesus came at the appointed time. And whether there was snow on the ground or whether it was the middle of a drought, the important fact is he came. And he came for us. Born into this world, fully God, yet fully man, living a perfect, spotless life so that he could be our sacrifice. The Bible speaks of, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Sometimes I struggle to understand how being nailed to a cross could be joyful. His body pierced, his blood shed, broken for us. But the joy wasn't in the act that he had to endure. The joy was in the salvation that would be ours because of what he did. That's incredible, isn't it? The unlikely, the forgotten, the broken. The angel declared good news, the gospel. The angel spoke about great joy, not just calm British happiness, but great joy. Deep, explosive joy is there in the word in the Greek, chara. Joy that's not rooted in circumstances, but joy that is grounded in God's grace. And joy for all the people, including us, right here today. Are you joyful this morning? I can't quite tell looking at some of your faces. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Sometimes our joy is so deep, it doesn't quite make it to our face. Friends, we should be the most joyful people in the world. Isaiah 9:2 says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light." Jesus, the light of the world, symbolized by these Christingles. Jesus is the light that breaks into our darkness. Jesus is the light that dispels our darkness. This prophecy in Isaiah, it was given 700 years before Jesus' birth. Speaking of the Messiah who would come, the one who would shine light into the darkest of places. And friends, is there anywhere darker than the human heart? His light brings transformation. His light brings change to our hearts, to our minds, to our lives. We are transformed when we come and encounter Jesus for ourselves. You see, for us, joy doesn't begin when life is perfect. Joy begins for us where God's grace meets our brokenness, where God's grace delivers us from our sin. Max Lucado said this, "Jesus came not for the good, but for the confused, not for the proud, but for the broken." Friends, this is joy. This is overwhelming truth. Joy is the realization for us that God knows everything about us, and yet he still loves us. I wonder at times, let me pick on someone. If I knew everything about my daughter, would I really love her? If I knew everything about Sam, would I even want to talk to her? If I knew everything about Andrea, would my view of who she is change? See, God knows everything about each and every one of us, yet he loves us. He cares for us. He continues to pour out love, grace, and mercy upon us, despite who we are, but all because of who he is. Our lives are not perfect. We are all in some way or another broken. But thankfully, Jesus came for the broken. Jesus came for the sinner. Jesus came for the one who was imperfect. In our imperfection, he is perfection. This is overwhelming joy. This is overwhelming truth. God loves us and gives us joy. Let me tell you a story about the night the lighthouse shone. There was a terrified sailor once who was in a violent storm. And he wrote this, "I could not see the harbour, I could not see the shore, but I saw the lighthouse and I knew I wasn't lost." In many ways, Jesus is heaven's lighthouse. He is the joy that shines through the terror, the joy that shines through the darkness. And even when the waves of life and circumstance come in and crash against us, joy declares to each and every one of us, you are not lost. You are not alone. There is a saviour. There is a way. There is a truth. There is a life that can set you free from the burdens that you face. The saviour has come. That doesn't mean that storms won't come. God does not leave us in the storm. The joy of knowing that he is with us despite the circumstance, despite what we see. We're told in the word of God to walk by faith, not by sight. I'm sure we all know that to be true. There have been those times in our lives when we've been desperate, when we've cried out to the Lord and he has been faithful. Maybe it's taken a bit of time, and sometimes in life we have to look back on what God has done to remind us of how faithful he is, to remind us of the joy that he has given to us, to remind us that we have never been alone in the darkest moments that we faced. He is our joy in the storm. He is the solid rock. He is our firm foundation. He is the one that we can trust in. Second point, joy flows from abiding in Christ. John chapter 15, verses 9 to 11. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Advent joy, it's not just a seasonal feeling. It is a relational reality. A joy should overflow every day because of our Lord, because of our Saviour. Jesus says, remain in my love. Be grounded in his love. The word that he uses in the Greek is meno. It means to stay, to continue, to dwell, to take up camp, to make your home. Live in his love. Oh, but you don't know what I face. You don't know how difficult life is. And there's those times when I struggle and I just can't. I can't keep my eyes fixed on Jesus because I look at what's going on around me. Friends, we need to remain in his love at all times. That's where joy comes from. That's where peace comes from. That's where we experience the mercy and the grace of God. When we spend our time in him, when we allow ourselves to be grounded in him. Joy isn't found in success or popularity or comfort, though. That is what the world will try to tell you. Joy, true joy, we can only find that in Jesus, not in anything else. And Jesus doesn't just offer us joy at Christmas time. It's not a seasonal thing. Every day, Jesus asks us, calls us to walk in the joy that he has given each and every one of us. I'm assuming this morning that we are not just happy that we're in church. We're not just happy that we're saved, but we have a joy knowing that our sins are forgiven. Knowing that we've been redeemed, knowing that we've been set free because of what he's done. Our salvation doesn't rely on us living right. Doesn't rely on us saying the right things, doing the right things. The joy of our salvation comes because we know that he has already accomplished everything that was necessary for us to be saved. As Jesus said on the cross, tetelestai, it is finished. There is nothing we can do to add to our salvation. There is nothing we can do to add to our forgiveness. We are at peace with God because of what Christ has done. Joy is something that's relational. We are in relationship with God. We are in relationship with our Saviour. Joy should not be about what's underneath the Christmas tree on the 25th of December. Our joy comes from the one who has been hung on the tree, hung on the cross. It's not what the world teaches, but it's what the Bible tells us. And the word Christmas, it's not mentioned anywhere in the Bible. Jesus himself did not celebrate Christmas. I'm sure he celebrated his birthday at some stage throughout the year. You know, being part of a human family, even a Jewish family, they gave gifts at Christmas. We do all this planning. We do all this, oh, I'll buy this for that one and I'll get this for that one. And for those that send cards, you know, we often will look for the perfect card to send to someone. And we plan what we're going to give to our families, what we're going to give to our friends. Maybe you have Secret Santa at work and you've got to give something to someone that you really don't know that much about. But how often do we stop at Christmas time and think, what am I going to give to my Saviour? What can I bless God or God's work with by doing or giving? There's so many things on our list. Does Jesus even make it onto our Christmas list? Psalm 16 verse 11 says, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Joy is not a place, joy is a person. Joy is not a feeling, joy is a person. It was Tim Keller who said, if Jesus is your real joy, nothing can take it away. Apparently, Christmas can be the most depressing time of the year for many people. Is that because they are focusing inwards? If they focused on Jesus, would there be a greater joy? Would there be a greater happiness? If we actually remembered that without Christ, there is no Christmas, would our view, would people's emotions be different if they focused on the Saviour? The world can break our heart. Stuff can happen. But nothing can break our joy when our joy is in Christ. Let me tell you about a branch. A branch that fell off of a vine. And it tried to produce some fruit on its own. The branch, being detached from the vine, failed, shriveled, and nearly died. But someone who was good at looking after plants grafted that vine back into another plant. And once reattached, life surged through the plant again, and fruit appeared. Friends, we are not created to survive on our own. We are meant to abide in Christ. We are meant to abide in the vine. We can't live disconnected and expect to have everything fantastic and wonderful. When we abide in Christ, when we're in the vine, that's when overwhelming joy comes, overflowing joy comes. When we are connected to the source, when we have fellowship with one another, have friendship with one another, when we spend time talking about Jesus, our faith grows. Our relationship grows. And just as we're meant to spend time speaking to our Heavenly Father, our Lord, in prayer, we're also meant to speak to one another, to share life together. Oh, no, I mean, I couldn't do that with Bex. I mean, she uses words I don't even understand. Or Paul. Or Paul's from Southend. I'm not going to say anything else. Or Dave's also from Southend, but he lives a bit further north, so it's closer to Rochford, and Rochford's got lots of posh people in it, so maybe I'll talk to him. The world discriminates. We should never discriminate. We're one in Christ, brothers and sisters in our Lord, our Saviour. And I'm sure that there are times when we irritate each other, just like any good family. There are some people that you'd probably like to only see at Christmas, and even then you just want to nod at them and move quickly away. But we're family. We're not meant to be alone. God has saved us and brought us into this thing that we call church. We're meant to focus on Him. Third point, joy in the storm. Not joy after the storm, but joy in the storm. Philippians 4:4-7. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Here's the difficult bit. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Is this too hard for us in the 21st century? Remember, the Apostle Paul wrote this when he was in prison, probably with chains hanging from his wrists, yet he still had joy in his heart. He wasn't waiting for release so that he could rejoice. He rejoiced because Christ had already released him from his sin. He rejoiced in the reality of knowing that he had been set free from his burden. The Greek word for rejoice, chairo, is to celebrate, to be continually glad. It's a word that's used to say that you should be glad regardless of your circumstance. Not joy when life is good, not joy when things are going your way, not joy when you discover that you can buy 6 tins of baked beans for the price of 4. Joy in all circumstances. Not joy when you're going shopping and you find a parking space instantly. Not joy when things go the way that you wanted. Joy in every circumstance, in every situation. The Lord calls us to trust Him. The Lord calls us to abide in Him. Maybe in the 21st century, we don't necessarily feel like we are in a physical prison the way that the Apostle Paul was. But the world does try to oppress us. The world tries to suppress us. The world tries to cause us to retreat into a self-made prison. We're meant to be the light of the world. We're meant to be shining Christ's light to the world. We're meant to be salt. We're meant to be light. We're meant to be the ones who spread the good news, the joy that we have experienced in Christ. Do we? Will we? Can we be a source of joy? Can we tell others about the true source of joy that they can know? Even when the doctor calls, even when the job goes, even when the tears fall, can we point others to that source of joy? How do we do that? Well, we start with our own lives. We start by placing everything about us into Christ's hands, to allow him to lead us, to allow him to guide us, even in the storm, to know that he is with us. To fix our eyes on Jesus, to surrender our hearts, our minds, our will to his plan, to his purpose. That's where true joy comes from. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 says, "Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Our strength doesn't come from within. Our strength comes from the Lord. Preacher and teacher Charles Stanley once said, "Obey God and leave all the consequences to him." That's good advice, isn't it? Joy says, "I trust God enough to obey him." The world may think I'm weird. The world may argue that what I am saying is not embracing diversity. But I trust the one who has spoken truth. I trust the one who, even though the world may not agree with everything he said, I know his word is truth. Fourth point, the gospel, joy in a person, not a season. Christmas joy did not begin with a manger. It began in heaven. When the eternal Son said yes to becoming our Saviour, that's when joy began. And Christmas joy, it's not meant to be a temporary emotion. It's the joy that comes from knowing that we have eternal salvation. The joy that comes from knowing that we've been set free. The joy that comes from knowing that we have a Saviour and that we are in relationship with him. Friends, the truth of the gospel is this. Jesus was born to die for our sins. He was born and laid in a feeding trough because one day he would become the bread of life. He lived amongst sinners so that we could live with God. He experienced rejection so that we could be accepted. He suffered the shame of the cross. He carried our sin. He suffered our punishment. The punishment that we deserved, he took upon himself. He died the death that we deserved so that we could live. He was buried in a tomb, but death couldn't hold him. And on the third day, he rose. He conquered the power of sin, the power of death. He conquered hell. Our joy, my friends, it's in what he has done. He paid the price. We get the benefit. And it's not like a free 12-month warranty that you might get when you buy a washing machine, because you can pretty much guarantee on the 366th day that washing machine will break outside of the warranty. His warranty, his guarantee is forever. The blood that Jesus shed 2,000 years ago is still setting the captives free today. Still washing away my sin, your sin. That's where our joy must come from. Joy with Jesus is eternal. Joy is alive for us because Jesus is alive. We don't worship a dead prophet. We don't worship a dead saviour. We worship the risen Lord. And at Christmas, yes, we look to the baby in the manger, but we also have to look to the boy that grew into the man who went to the cross, who died, conquered death and rose again, and then ascended. And one day he's coming back. Every day is one day closer. I'm not an end times preacher, but I know that we are in the end times because every day is one day closer. And whether he returns in my lifetime, in the lifetime of my grandchildren, or 3:15 this afternoon, he is coming back. Will we welcome him with joy? Will we be ready? Here's the call to action. Go and rejoice in the joy of Jesus. Do you want joy? Real joy? For us to experience real joy, I think once again we need to repent, to turn from self, to turn from those things that we've allowed back into our lives that really shouldn't be there. Jesus died, he dealt with our sin once for all at the cross. But that doesn't give us a license to just live however we want. We need to repent if we're not walking according to his will and purpose. We need to believe in him. He is the Messiah. He is the Saviour. He is Lord. We need to make sure that he has the correct place in our lives. Jesus before everything else. Oh, but I need to do this. I need to do that. I enjoy doing such and such. Okay, but does Jesus have first place or is he pushed to one side and stuff is occupying the space that he should occupy in our lives? Trust. We need to trust him. His love is enough. His love is sufficient. We need to love him more. And we need to abide. We need to dwell. And we need to take up that residence daily. We need to remain in him. In him, we have life. In him, we have joy. In him, we have peace. In him, we are able to love one another. This Christmas, this Advent, don't let the world drain you of your joy. Don't let fear silence your song. Don't let wounds that you've experienced in the past define your worth to Jesus today. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and the joy of the Lord is ours. So friends, go and rejoice in Jesus today. Go and announce the good news of great joy. Go and tell those that you know that the Saviour has come and that they can be in relationship with him. Today, let's trust him. Let's love him. Let's live with joy. Let's know our Saviour and let's give him the proper place in our lives. Romans 15:13 says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, go and rejoice in Jesus. Share that joy with others. Proclaim the truth of who he is and know the joy that is already yours. Your sins are forgiven and you are assured of a place in heaven. May God bless you.